Radio Prague News. The National Security Council is meeting to discuss security issues in the wake of Thursday's terrorist attacks in London. 14 Czechs believed to have been in the centre of London at the time of the bombings remain unaccounted for. And the Ombudsman, Ottokar Motyl, says that he does not have evidence to suggest that the former communist regime ordered enforced sterilisations of Romani women. The National Security Council is meeting to discuss security issues in the wake of Thursday's terrorist attacks in London. Security measures have already been tightened around the country, with increased police patrols in the city centre, at airports and railway stations, power plants and all buildings deemed sensitive, including the headquarters of Radio Free Europe. Following a meeting with the country's intelligence services, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek said he had no information indicating a possible terrorist attack on Czech territory, but said that greater precautions would be necessary in the coming days and weeks. 14 Czechs believed to have been in the centre of London at the time of the bombings have so far failed to contact their relatives in the Czech Republic. The Foreign Ministry has established a hotline where people with missing friends and relatives can get more information. Over 70 Czechs staying in Britain contacted their families within 24 hours, and the Ministry says it will wait until Friday night before giving the names of the people still unaccounted for to the British authorities. The Ombudsman, Ottokar Motyl, says that he does not have evidence to suggest that the former communist regime ordered enforced sterilisations of Romani women. Close to 80 Romani women have written to the Ombudsman complaining that they were sterilised after giving birth without authorising the procedure. The cases go back over a 30-year period, and the Ombudsman told journalists that, serious as the matter was, closer investigation suggested that the cases were isolated incidents rather than an ordained practice. They allegedly happened in different hospitals and at different times and could not be linked to a given person or institution. The Human Rights League, which has also been monitoring the problem, does not agree, claiming that the former communist regime ordered the practice and that Romani women were bribed with money to agree to be sterilised. The police have detained 24 illegal refugees whom they found packed in the back of a lorry during a routine check on the D1 highway from Brno to Prague. Their detection caused a minor incident on the road when some of the refugees attacked the officers while the others ran for cover. Police reinforcements finally rounded up the whole group. They're all Chinese nationals and have been placed in a detention centre pending further questioning and possibly expulsion. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. A Saturday is expected to be cloudy to overcast with more rain showers and temperatures between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Thanks for tuning in to Radio Prague. Coming up next, our weekly magazine, Inside Central Europe. Don't forget that on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend, you can also hear our traditional Saturday programs. For details of precise times and frequencies, please send for a brochure at Radio Prague, English Section, 12099 Prague 2, Czech Republic.
Hello and welcome to Insight Central Europe, with stories from Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Slovenia and the Czech Republic. I'm Kerry Skyring, and this week, the race to be Poland's president heats up. The Visegrad 4 find favour with investors, and a rapid takeoff at Bratislava's international airport. These stories and more in this Insight Central Europe. But first, here's Dita Asiedu with the news.
Thanks, Kerry. Central European leaders have sent letters of condolence and expressed their solidarity with Britain following Thursday's series of coordinated bombings in London. Condemning the attacks, they said Thursday's events prove that the international fight against terrorism has been imperative and must continue. In a letter to the Queen, Czech President Václav Klaus called all such terrorist attacks cowardly practices. Polish President Aleksander Kwaśniewski had this to say.
Our friends and brothers can fully depend on Poland in these tragic times. Our country will provide any help necessary. Our hearts, the hearts of all Poles, now go out to London.
Serca wszystkich Polaków są teraz w Londynie.
In Hungary, Prime Minister Ferenc Gyurcsány called the London explosions a heinous crime. And in a letter to his British counterpart, the Hungarian Foreign Minister Ferenc Somogyi said it was an especially absurd circumstance that the barbarian terrorist attack had been perpetrated at a time when the leaders of the economically most developed countries had gathered to discuss the alleviation of poverty in the world and the possibilities of joining forces against the environmental problems threatening our planet. In the wake of the attack, security has been heightened around department stores, the public transport network, and all strategic buildings in all main Central European cities. Foreign ministries have stated they had not received any reports of a real threat of attack in their countries. It is as yet unknown how many, if any, Central Europeans were among the victims in London. Some ministries, including the Czech Foreign Ministry, have opened special hotlines for citizens unable to locate family in the British capital. Deputy Foreign Minister Jan Winkler.
We are now in the process of collecting information from Czech families or Czech friends who contacted our helpline, where the information about the missing persons are collected and passed to our embassy in London, which is in contact with Casualty Bureau in London.
Meanwhile, a fire that broke out in Poland's main government building on Thursday was an accident caused by renovation works and not linked to the attacks on London, Deputy Prime Minister Izabela Jaruga-Nowacka said. The building was evacuated when it caught fire just hours after blast shook the British capital, raising concerns that the incidents might be connected. Alongside Britain, Poland is a key ally of the United States in Iraq, where it has about 1,700 soldiers. Similarly, in Budapest, three shopping centers that were evacuated on Thursday due to a bomb threat reopened after police found no explosives or any evidence that the threats were linked to the blast in London. Moving on to other news now, Slovak Prime Minister Mikuláš Zurinda survived a no-confidence vote on Wednesday as Parliament rejected a fresh opposition attack aimed mainly against the government's economic policies. The no-confidence vote was initiated by the leftist party Smer, the strongest opposition faction, which accused the government of taking measures that have impoverished most Slovaks. The no-confidence motion was supported by only 60 deputies, short of the 76-vote majority in the 150-seat parliament needed to bring down the government. Smer leader Robert Fico, whose party leads in opinion polls with around 30%, has also accused Zurinda of dragging the country into the war in Iraq. Zurinda strongly rejected all the accusations, saying his reforms had led to the fastest economic growth in Central Europe and attracted large foreign investors, which helped create thousands of new jobs. And the European Commission has warned that big regions in Slovenia, Spain and Italy will lose out on vast sums of EU aid if the bloc's leaders fail to agree on a long-term budget this year. Negotiations on the EU's 2007-2013 budget broke down at a summit in mid-June, and politicians doubt whether Britain will be able to steer the EU towards a budget agreement during its six-month presidency, which started this month. Failure to reach a deal this year will affect all new Central European member states, but Slovenia, the richest, might lose billions of euros from what are called the EU structural funds if agreement is only reached at the end of Austria's presidency next June, as many diplomats expect.
Thanks, Rita. 3 months before the presidential elections in Poland, the campaign has been given a kick start with the announcement by the Speaker of Parliament that he's joining the race, and that Poland's current First Lady will be his campaign chief. Michał Kubicki has filed this report from Warsaw.
54-year-old Speaker of Parliament Włodzimierz Cimoszewicz has a PhD in law from Warsaw University and extensive political experience. He previously served as Prime Minister, Justice Minister and Foreign Minister. Even though formally he's running as an independent candidate, he remains closely allied to the Democratic Left Alliance SLD of former communists. In fact, the SLD wanted him to be its candidate many months ago, but Cimoszewicz kept on refusing, saying that he wanted to leave politics altogether. When I asked him what made him change his mind, he spoke with much concern about the quality of Poland's political life.
The present situation in Poland, characterized by growing conflicts, tensions, disputes, quarrels between politicians who are not able to think about future, about great chance which we share after joining European Union.
If Cimoszewicz's yes was expected by many people, his decision to choose Poland's first lady Jolanta Kwaśniewska, who has spent the last 10 years in the presidential palace at the side of her husband Aleksander as his campaign guru, took most people by surprise. According to political analyst Robert Strybel, Cimoszewicz wants to emphasize the idea of continuity.
He says, look, Poles, for 10 years Kwaśniewski has been there, he has been even-handed, he hasn't got involved in mudslinging. If Cimoszewicz thinks that Kwaśniewska, his wife, is a symbol, the First Lady is a symbol of that presidency, then he's banking on the fact that Poles want more of this stability, they're sick of the mudslinging.
Since announcing his decision, Cimoszewicz has stormed opinion polls, racing ahead of the Warsaw mayor and Poland's top heart surgeon, who had been so far tipped as favorites. Matthew Day of Poland Monthly describes Cimoszewicz as a lifesaver for the Polish left, engulfed in many corruption scandals.
He could muster a decent campaign. He's one of the few candidates from the left who's untainted, and also he's got a sort of presidential aspect to himself. He speaks English, he has the mannerisms of a president. I think in some ways, you know, Poles will want that when it actually comes to the vote. Of course, by choosing the president's wife as a campaign director could create a few problems for him, because Kwaśniewska herself is now entangled in one of the big corruption scandals in Poland, and her star has definitely fallen somewhat.
2 weeks ago, Jolanta Kwaśniewska testified before a parliamentary committee investigating an alleged bribery scandal concerning Poland's top oil group, PKN Orlen. She was questioned about the funding of her charity and her contacts with businessmen suspected of trying to influence privatizations. Włodzimierz Cimoszewicz sees his presidential bid as a mission at a time when Poland has to solve many domestic problems and face the challenges stemming from the crisis in the European Union.
We've got unprecedented chance to make a real jump in terms of changing our country, in terms of changing our economy and our society. We simply have at our disposal much bigger resources than ever. The problem is if we are able as nation to define what is the most important for us, and then to be very consequent in implementing that kind of, let's say, basic plan. If we are able to do so, we can follow the example of Ireland and in a relatively short time, let's say of 10-15 years, to reach much, much higher level of development, guaranteeing our people better life, and finally solving those dramatic social problems that still exist in Poland.
Presidential contender Włodzimierz Cimoszewicz. Most Polish analysts predict a neck-and-neck race between Cimoszewicz and the right-wing candidate Warsaw Mayor Lech Kaczyński. I am Michał Kubicki in Warsaw for Inside Central Europe.
The four countries of the Visegrad Group, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland and Slovakia, feature high in a new survey on their capacity to attract foreign capital. This annual attractiveness survey was compiled by the international consultancy company Ernst & Young. For a look at why foreign capital is finding a home in Central Europe, Sándor Lajos of Radio Budapest spoke to Barbara Szako, the director of Ernst & Young Hungary.
If we compare the countries as a region, then Western Europe is still ahead of Central Eastern Europe. However, Central Eastern Europe became more competitive on a year-to-year basis. For example, Poland and Hungary together attract more foreign direct investment than, for example, France, Germany, Spain and Belgium combined.
How about the chances of these countries in the Visegrad group to grow even further?
what the survey says, because these countries are more flexible, there is a diversity of markets, and also the knowledge of these countries are really important, that the possibilities in these countries are much higher, the potential is really there. If we compare the countries, it is important to know that Hungary is number 5 in job creation, and number 4 is potential destination for new foreign direct investment. If we compare with other Visegrad countries, Poland is probably more attractive than Hungary. It has a higher domestic market. The employment regulations are less strict than in other countries. If we compare with labor skill, Poland is number 5. And the availability of sites, cost of land and regulation, Poland is number 1. The Czech Republic is, for example, number 5.
The East Central European countries were first attractive after the change of the political and economic system because of cheap labor. Is that still a factor?
Cheap labor is still, you know, a factor, but not to the extent it was earlier. The focus goes rather into certain industries, like, for example, manufacturing, car industry, and certain industries.
How much does it count that these countries, Hungary, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, and Poland, are now members of the European Union?
It is definitely a factor, because foreign direct investment generally likes to come to Europe. If you compare U.S., China, and the European Union, European Union has a special advantage over those countries.
Bora Balasako, the director of Ernst & Young Hungary, was speaking to Sándor Laszko of Radio Budapest. And if you'd like to hear any of these stories again, go to our website. It's www.incentraleurope.com. You'll find text and audio of all these stories. Inside Central Europe is a co-production from Radio Polonia, Radio Prague, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Budapest, and Radio Slovenia International. 3 or 4 years ago, Bratislava Airport's terminal building was just like a big empty hall. Each day there were only 1 or 2 plane loads of passengers echoing through its generous spaces. Today, though, the departure and arrivals board seems hardly able to cope with all the daily flights. In the first 5 months of this year, Bratislava Airport saw a 66% year-on-year increase in passenger numbers. It expects to reach 1.5 million travellers by the end of this year, and there are plans to privatise it. Anka Dragu reports.
Currently, Bratislava Airport, as well as the one in Košice, the second largest town in the country, are 100% state-owned companies. The government has just revealed its strategy for the privatization of the two biggest airports in Bratislava and Košice, respectively. Branislav Kvašnica, the general director of civil association in the Ministry of Transport, explained how it will work.
The government decided that by the end of 2005, each of these two airports must have a strategic investor who is to buy 66% of shares. The rest is divided between the state and the regional and municipal authorities. Each of the former should get 10%, so in the end the state keeps only 14%.
And it was a bit of controversy in Slovakia last 2 months because regional authorities in Bratislava and Košice were unhappy with the original idea and they wanted to get some 10% shares already next year and not in 2010. Which is the difference? How much it influenced the whole privatization process, this difference that they take it next year and not in 2010?
The initial plan was that the state will control very strictly this privatization process, because these airports are of strategic interest for the economic development of the Slovak economy as a whole. We wanted that the best offer decides the winner of the tender and that the company will receive all the support it needs to successfully develop the airports, including some time. Therefore, we thought that we should still keep a bigger stake until 2010, and then give some 10% stake to the regional authority and 10% to the municipality. Now it changed, and they'll get these shares already in the next year, but they will not be able to get any money from it in the next 5 years. So I don't really see the difference for them.
The head of Bratislava Regional Authority, who is a publicly elected person, fought a lot to get the 10% stake already next year. We tried to ask him why was this change so important and how much will his authority benefit from it. However, after initially agreeing with an interview, he quickly changed his mind and issued a statement saying that he will give his input only after the whole privatization process is over. The booming in the airport activity, caused mainly by the presence of low-cost airlines, caught the eye of Vienna Airport. Žvehat, as it is known in the region, is located less than 50 kilometers away from Bratislava. Vienna Airport speaker, a member of the management board, Herbert Kaufmann, has confirmed that his company plans to take part in the privatization of the airport in Bratislava.
There are different forms of cooperation. It must be negotiated. But the simplest form of negotiation is to become shareholder of Bratislava Airport and to establish a cooperation which will establish a win-win situation for Bratislava as well as for Vienna.
Some people in Slovakia fear that given the proximity between the two airports, Vienna would like to drive Bratislava out of business or use it as a cargo airport. Kaufmann denies such allegations, while the Ministry of Transport says that for the time being, they wait for all offers to be submitted and they take Slovakia's own interests into consideration when choosing a buyer. There are currently 4 bidders, including Vienna and Copenhagen airports.
Anka Dragut reporting from Radio Slovakia International. The 150-member Boston Gay Men's Chorus, the BGMC, is on a tour of Central Europe. It's one of New England's largest and most successful choirs. It's broken ground in affirming the positive image of the gay community in the United States. In Prague, the BGMC held a gala concert at one of the city's great concert venues. Radio Prague's David Vaughan met with the chorus executive director, Stephen Smith, just before the performance.
We began in Berlin. We were there for their Christopher Street Day celebration. We then bused to Wrocław, Poland, which was a very interesting experience for us. And now we finished the trip here in Prague.
And I gather that in the Wrocław part, in the Polish part of your tour, you had some difficulties, didn't you?
Yes, there was a significant demonstration against our performing there. The director of the Philharmonic Hall where we were singing came under great local fire for having us. We were called a disgrace and an abomination. You know, we knew going to Poland would be sort of pushing the envelope a bit, but we didn't, neither we nor our tour experts expected that kind of reaction.
So that was the negative reaction. What about the positive reaction in Poland?
Well, the audience was absolutely terrific. Before we arrived, only 200 tickets had been sold. By the time the controversy had played itself out, it was nearly a sellout of 500. And one of the most important things we do as an openly gay chorus is to make people aware of gay and lesbian issues, whether or not they hear us. And so certainly with all of the front page news coverage and TV, even without singing, we really got out the word about what great folks we are.
And so in a way, ironically, the negative publicity in Wrocław, in a sense, bore out the old adage that any publicity is good publicity in the end.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we never like to see negativity, and it's not the kind of atmosphere that we like to create. But really, when you're trying to create social change, obviously part of that is creating conversation and discussion, and so lively and sometimes negative discussion still helps get the word out.
And here in the Czech Republic, there's very little chance that you'll encounter that kind of negative reaction. How have people responded so far to your presence in Prague?
Absolutely great. I mean, people are so friendly, very positive about our being here. We knew coming to Prague would be a great experience for the chorus. You know, and we get descent in the U.S., so it's not like it's only Poland or something that we're not used to. But we sure certainly prefer being in a positive atmosphere.
But I gather that it's not pure coincidence that you're here in Prague just as the Czech Parliament is discussing for, I believe, the third or fourth time the possibility of introducing gay and lesbian marriage or registered partnership. Are you engaging in that debate even here in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, I think certainly we'll be singing several songs about that. As you may know, in Massachusetts, a year ago this spring, gay and lesbian marriage became legal. More than 23 of our members have already married. Many had been in long-term relationships but finally got married. And we've been very active in the fight in the States, and we're working with a group here called Gay Initiative, and we're really glad to sort of lend our voices of support to help people understand why gay and lesbian partnership and marriage is really great for gay and lesbian people and for society as a whole.
And you're going to be singing in one of the great Czech venues. It's the Dvořák Hall of the Rudolfinum, which is really the great concert hall in Prague. Are you nervous?
Not nervous, but really excited. The whole tour began 5 years ago, and the place we knew we wanted to go first was here to Prague to sing at the Rudolfinum. Certainly his reputation is international. So that really got everything started. So it started with the music, it started with coming here to this concert hall, and it's the great finale to the trip.
And what are you going to be singing?
Well, as always, we sing a great variety of music, from classical to popular music. So you'll get that with us. There are Copland Old American Songs. We're doing a newly commissioned work that's about gay and lesbian marriage called A More Perfect Union. Wouldn't be us without some show tunes, so a lot of Gershwin, and music about gay and lesbian pride.
Stephen Smith, the director of the Boston Gay Men's Chorus, was speaking to David Vaughan. And if you'd like to hear any of these stories again or find out more about the Insight Central Europe team, go to our website. It's www.incentraleurope.com. And that's it for another Insight Central Europe. It's a co-production by Radio Polonia, Radio Budapest, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Prague, and Radio Slovenia International. I'm Kerry Skyring. The producer is Dieter Asiedu. Join us and the rest of the team next week. Thank you.